Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Elliot Shore Parks, our Eagles reporter and the co-host of the Go Birds podcast, is brought to you by your local Tri-State Toyota dealers. Dear driver, hurry in and save Toyota. Let's go places. Hi, Elliot.
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Well,
what's up, ESP?
It's been a long day already so far. So were you benching Jalen Hurts last night? Is that my reporting is telling me that?
Well, I was going to say, you say it's a long day. It's always a long day for me when Ike quote tweets me. That always puts my mentions in a wreck, you know?
I figured you would appreciate that.
Yeah. No, I think I could have probably phrased that tweet better. What I should have said was, I would love to see a different quarterback in Nick Sirianni's offense, but I'd also love to see Jalen Hurts with a different quarterback. Like, when I'm watching – I'm sorry.
Different coach.
When I'm watching this offense, you know, at times I think Nick is definitely the problem. The offense looks – not creative. It looks stale. There's no imagination each week. It's the same thing again and again. But what I can't tell is, are there throws to be made that Jalen's missing? Because I do see him missing makeable throws, right? You look at last night, the pass to Rager early on. You know, there's multiple ones each week. And I'm not saying that's the main reason the offense is struggling. He still has to run the ball more. But these throws are hurting the offense. Like, when he misses these easy throws on first and second down, it really does stall the offense. So, you know, if the season spirals out of control, I'm not advocating to bench Jalen. I'd just be interested to see what his offense looks like with a different quarterback so we can see maybe who holds the most blame.
Yeah, I mean, we get a lot of these national analysts, and even Troy Aikman, I believe, said it. They talk about the offense looking more like a college offense than what Jalen ran at Oklahoma. And that says to me that is by design, that they are put this offense in because it gives him the best chance to succeed, right? So
yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, is he capable of handling more? So when we ask for a more complex offense and doing a bunch of other things, is that really beneficial to him?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if Nick Sirianni and this coaching staff knows what they want to do. So to your point, is it beneficial to Jalen to put more on his plate? I think so, because what's happening right now is not working. It couldn't really be going much worse, right, in terms of the offense looking bad. But with Nick Sirianni and this coaching staff, they've never coached a player like Jalen that has the threat of the run that Jalen does. And at times it almost looks like they're like, okay, we'll run our offense that we like, and then we'll just put the RPO in there because that's what Jalen can do. But there's no rhyme or reason as to why they're doing it. It doesn't really mesh. And so I think that's their main problem right now. So the question moving forward is, are these rookie mistakes by a rookie coaching staff? I mean, pretty much up and down the board, a rookie coaching staff, or are they just not able to do it? And I think that, you know, in these coming weeks, we'll start to get the answers to that.
Well, one of the things I'm also noticing, and again, this isn't, I don't want it to be perceived this way. This isn't a criticism of Jalen. It's more of an observation to a point that is factual with the percentage of the offense that he is. He is the entire offense almost. Mm-hmm. He's talking about 70%+ of the offense is him. The majority of the touchdowns are him running or throwing the football. So he is the offense. I mean, he is the offense. How many other players in this league has this much of the offense on them?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Lamar Jackson. Maybe that's it.
But even Lamar Jackson, they ran the ball a ton with other running backs, at least early on. I haven't looked at, you know, the percentages this year, but early on they ran it a ton with other backs on the, you know, Mark Ingram, right? There were a lot of running backs that were really involved.
Yeah,
and you're right about that. He's way too involved. But again, like, what I can't tell is are all these rushing plays that he has, right, when he escapes pressure and runs for first down, which is a positive play. But is that happening because guys aren't open and this offense is poorly designed, or is that happening because he's missing guys? Like, I think that's the crucial question that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman have to ask themselves. Like, is Jalen a large percentage of the offense, and that's Sirianni's fault, or is it Jalen's fault that, you know, he's running around, which again looks positive, but in the long term, as we're finding these first 6 weeks, is not a long term way to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, the RPO seems like it's always not an R, it's a pass. But is that – because a lot of times – and I saw this on the Carolina game. Some people put the videos out on Twitter. It was a clear play where he should have let the running back keep it and run. Mm-hmm. So, like, at what point, if you're a coach, do you stop running that play if it's not working? It's not working.
Right.
Well, I know Nick's not doing this intentionally, but when he says the reason they're not running the ball more is because of the RPOs, that's in a roundabout way throwing criticism at
you're
Jalen.
Blaming Jalen, yeah.
Right, and I know he's not doing it intentionally, but that's kind of what he's saying. Like, when it's like, why aren't you running the ball, right? Why aren't you running the ball? He's almost like, look, it's out of my hands, right? Like Jalen's the one making these decisions. But that's just not true. Like, he can call plays, and I know this sounds crazy, where there's no option. You just hand it to the running back, and that's the play, right? So I think he needs to do more of that. And, you know, the RPO can be helpful in this offense, but if it's hurting it at this point, and if they're not using it properly, like, I don't know if you stop calling it or what, but they have got to commit to more of a running game and stop using the RPO as the outlet to get to it.
Well, here's the other thing I see from the receivers, right? First of all, we need receivers that can actually run routes. One guy that can run a route, and that's primarily from the hash to the sideline as opposed to routes all over the field, crossing routes, everything else, button hooks. I mean, everything, like running everything. We don't seem to have that with our wide receivers. Jalen Reagor can't run a route, period, except for running straight down the damn field. He can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Crisp. It looks like Quez Watkins can't do anything else but run straight down the field. So that also hampers the play calling and what you can do with the offense if the receivers aren't necessarily good enough to run the other parts of a passing tree.
Yeah, and this is why, and maybe I picked the wrong name when we discussed it, but early in the offseason or during training camp, when I said they should sign a veteran receiver, and I mentioned Alshon, which was not the move, right? But this is why I think that one of their biggest needs that was underrated was a veteran receiver. Like, I like watching these young guys play. I think they deserve the chance to develop. But to your point, like, if they're hampering the offense, like, then you have got to get somebody in here, like a professional receiver that knows how to get open. Quez Watkins is showing a ton of potential. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a very good receiver. He's not a professional receiver at this point, right? Like, he has skills. And then Reagor is just, you know, he had the pass interferences last night, which credit to him. But overall, that's not a good situation. So they need to bring in a veteran guy. And then if that guy's getting open and Jalen's still not getting him the ball, look, then they're going to have to decide. Like, you can just ride with Jalen all season and just because. But at a certain point, like, if you're evaluating Sirianni, if you're evaluating these guys and Jalen's holding them back, like, I don't know what else you do at that point.
Well, it's going to have to be painfully obvious to everyone that he needs to be pulled. We know what that looks like when it's painfully obvious to everyone that the quarterback probably needs to be benched.
Yeah, we saw it last year. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. And, you know.
I laid it up there for you, yes. I laid it up there for you.
I almost was like, should I take it? Should I not? Like,
and Elliot.
I couldn't pass.
I wasn't saying they should have benched him last night, but he was playing poorly enough in the first three quarters to where I was thinking, man, it'd be nice to have somebody else in there right now.
Yeah, and the other thing this offense has to, or the front office and the coaching staff has to decide is, are these comebacks happening because of adjustments by the coaching staff, or are these comebacks happening because the team's basically other teams checking out until the Eagles get back into it, right? I mean, the Eagles did make it a 6-point game. Like, Jalen Hurts did have a few nice throws, but then almost immediately once it got close, you saw what happened.
And the defense allowed some runs by Miles Sanders where they were just sitting back, and we make a big deal. Look at what they did in the fourth quarter. They were giving them those runs.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't know in the first quarter if Miles is having that success.
He's not.
But There's only one way to find out.
Well,
I mean, you know, that's to give
yes.
him the ball.
So. Yeah, I would like to see him get the ball, too.
That's where it's on Nick Sirianni right there for sure. Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. As much as I think his play call, his scheme designs and stuff, we can debate that. There's no defending the limited amount of running plays. There's just no defending it.
Elliot Short Parks with us. Elliot, the only a game like last night would have us not talking about Zach Ertz being traded this morning.
Yeah.
But that happened. So the understanding is that he knew before last night's game he was going to be traded, and the Eagles let him play? What the hell is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're only getting a fifth or sixth round pick, you know, that you're not maybe as worried. But, yeah, Howie Roseman talked today and said him and Zach had a long conversation on Tuesday. And, you know, I don't know if it was agreed upon at that point he'd be going to Arizona, but it was pretty clear he would be being moved. And, yeah, he played last night. So, I guess you run the risk of injury. Maybe – The Cardinals still do it if he suffers a minor injury. I don't know, but for the compensation, I can't kill him too much.
No, I won't kill him. Listen, I don't think under normal circumstances you do that. You do that for a select few guys. Zach Ertz wanted to play in that game last night. That wasn't about the Eagles wanting to run out there with Zach Ertz one last time. No, Zach wanted one last time to play in front of his home fans,
and
he was okay with it. Yes, so I give the Eagles credit for allowing that to happen, because they would have been the ones that would have suffered the loss. If Zach gets injured, then they don't get a fifth-round draft pick in a corner.
Yeah, and I know in the grand scheme things, like, it's not what people care about now, but, you know, it is important that this franchise maintains a good relationship with Zach. Like, you look at what happened last night with John Runyon and Trey Thomas coming back. I know you're at a lot of the alumni events. Like, that is part of running a franchise, and Zach is one of the best players to ever play here. However you want to rank him wherever, he is one of the best players. So, yeah, I think that from a franchise perspective, maybe not from a football operations perspective, but from a franchise perspective, they made the right decision.
And that's why they did it. I mean, let's just be honest. That's why they
did it.
And
I
don't think it was a bad thing. There's been times where they didn't allow the emotion and sentiment value to get involved, and that was something where I think it meant something to Zach to be able to walk off the field one last time and play last night. So they granted him that.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And Elliot, I guess. The way I look at it is that you went through this whole process all off season and everything else, and you're only getting a fifth round pick and a sixth round corner that they drafted this year, right? Like, if you really care that much about Zach Ertz, release him or trade him in training camp or before that.
Yep.
And that's why I'm surprised because I would have thought that you would have done right by your player back in training camp rather than make him go through this whole process and I'll just trade him now. I was surprised that it happened like this.
I agree. No, I think like the Dallas Goedert negotiations are part of this. So we'll see what happens from that perspective. But I agree with you. I mean, I said this offseason, as much as I thought Zach would help the roster, that doing right by him at that point was probably the right move.
All right. Elliot Short Parks. Man, Elliot's talking about a different quarterback in there right now. Man, Elliot.
I'm not saying I would do it. I mean, but the offense looks bad, and we need to find out who the problem is. It's like when we got to see Foles with Doug Peterson. That let us know Carson was the problem. So, you know, we'll take
another,
we'll see
another
what,
zinger.
What another quarterback looks like with Nick.
All right, ESP. We'll see you Monday at the Chickies and Peace for the Players Lounge.
Yes.
All right, can't wait. See you guys.
All right, Go Birds Radio, I'm sure, is tomorrow.
I didn't even take his little bait. Because I'd already sent the community after him when he put up the little bench Jalen tweet last night. I was like, what the hell? He's already talking about benching the guy?
Good move by you as well. Sick him.
Yes, get him.
But what Elliot asked, I think, is an interesting mm-hmm. question. Because I, too, wonder if you had an experienced offensive play caller, offensive head coach, would Jalen Hurts look different right now? And the answer is, of course he would look different, and he would look like a better quarterback. But I always go back to, is he going to be good enough? And that I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Andy Reid's not changing whether or not Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback and can win a Super Bowl. He has to be that guy. And Nick Sirianni may not be able to win with Jalen Hurts or anybody else. But, like, it's hard to judge either one of them. It's hard to judge Sirianni fairly with the way Jalen Hurts is playing, and it's hard to judge Hurts fairly because of Sirianni.
Well, I that's why you don't do it game after game. I mean, these are just more information that's been gathered, and in the end, when you feel like there's enough information that you have, then you're making that type of decision. I mean, just through six games, There's been some good. There's been some bad. There's been some inconsistencies. Let's see what they look like after this 10-day layoff. Let's see what they do coming out of this 10-day layoff.
All right, let's get back to the phones here. We have some heavy hitters on the line, Ike, starting with CJ in Texas. CJ, how are you?
Oh, I'm pissed. And I ain't even just pissed from the game last night because I expected the loss. So yesterday when I was saying, like, hey, I don't know if we got caught off or the cutoff or whatever, but I was like, why are you thinking about a win when everything points to a loss? So a hard-fought game is like, okay, I can get with that. That's called growth. But the fact y'all got me coming on after ESP, who has been like a thorn in my side since offseason, him and Joe the camera, yeah, we should win 11 games and we're going to be this. Like, what are y'all getting this from? How we had a great offseason since trading Carson. It's like, nah, dude, y'all feeding people garbage. Mm-hmm. And like Chuck yesterday with all the, yeah, make sure you throw the Chihuahua back on with him because all that crap he was talking, and he's not willing to back up Jalen on the reel or pick how many games he's winning now. Like, I'm tired of hearing all this. But the thing that really pissed me off is after everything was said and done, you put the coach on, and this dude says, yeah, we don't know who we are. The coaches, after 6 weeks, no team knows who they are. Are you crazy? Every NFL team has a great idea who they are by game one. Now, you might get hit in the mouth and things change. You say, hey, we got to go to running or something. But you're doing nothing.
You know what part of the problem is, too, CJ? He does such a poor job of trying to explain what's going on. And he just, like today was by far, other than the opening press conference, today was pretty bad because he sounded tired.
Late night, man.
But he sounded tired. He sounded run down, and he wasn't making a lot of sense. And we know in a lot of press conferences that he talks in circles. Today, he really didn't make a lot of sense. And you wonder if he has any answers right now, because I mean, two straight weeks where outside of the fourth quarter, where then Jalen runs around a little bit and the defense is playing a little bit more of a prevent, you're not having any success,
right?
Like they've had their most success when the other team is kind of, you know, we're gonna win this game anyway. So
if we really think about it, through 6 weeks, they look good against Atlanta when no one
knew what they were gonna do with the short passes. Yep.
And against the Kansas City Chiefs.
But the worst defense
in the league, yeah.
Yes. Other than that, the offense hasn't looked all that good.
No.
On a week-to-week basis.
No. No, they look bad. All right, so CJ was just talking about Chuck from Mount Airy. Look who's on the air. From Mount Airy. Chuck.
Johnny Montague.
Hi, Chuck.
What's up, Chuck? Sounds like you're in a good mood, Chuck.
Oh, man, I hit the lot. Well, you know, I got 4 digits last night. The lottery came out, my numbers, so you know.
You hit the big four?
What?
Yeah, baby. 5 racks, $5,000 strong. You know what I mean? A little small money, you know.
Wow.
Unexpected money is
better. I could use $5,000 right now, Chuck.
I mean, that's a way to wash away a tough game from last night with $5,000.
You see that? Would the biggest Jalen Hurts fan in the world be celebrating after last
night?
Right,
man.
Listen, let me tell you something, man. I'm not good. What am I going to get upset for? You know what I mean? As long as that clown, Jeffrey Lurie, is running this organization, I have no hope as a fan. You know what I mean? I have no hope as a fan because this guy, he knew what Sirianni was when he hired him. And I hear you guys saying that Jalen Hurts, you want to know if it's Jalen Hurts or you want to know if it's Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Nick Sirianni. Because you know what he told Christina Pink at halftime? He told her that, and I watch a game. He said that.
Yeah, you obviously do. You know Christina Pink.
Yeah, but he said to her, we knew we couldn't run the ball, you know, going into this game. So you went in there with a defeated mindset from the gate. You didn't even try to run the ball against this team. If you keep dropping the quarterback back, like, you know, you play football.
Yeah.
You keep dropping the quarterback back with no running game and keep throwing RPOs, whereas though the time for him to get rid of the ball is collapsing on him, you know, he's going to get crushed. And that's what's going on right now. He's not giving this guy a fighting chance, man. You know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you why, Sirianni, too. Because every play that he throws, it don't set up the next play. You see just sporadicness.
Right.
It's like his press conferences.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I can imagine how he is in a meeting. You know what I mean? He's just sporadic, man. The players don't even know what he want to call at the time. Man, the guy is just, he's over his head. He needs to go. And like I said, get rid of him. Tell him more to be available. And get a real coach in here, a real offensive guy, Drew,
okay,
that can run. run this offense, man. This guy is sporadic, man. That's part of the problem. Communication is everything. If he can't communicate to us, you can't communicate to the players.
Chuck's a good communicator.
He is, man. He's a great communicator.
So here's my question, and I agree with a lot of things you said about Nick Sirianni. But if Nick Sirianni has Josh Allen as his quarterback, how does the offense look? If Nick Sirianni has Lamar Jackson as his quarterback, Joe Burrow, even Baker Mayfield, how about Ryan Tannehill?
Well, not Baker Mayfield.
All right, maybe not Baker Mayfield. Justin Herbert. I'll even go Derek Carr. You know, understand what I'm saying? Right. Like, what is does this offense look different with a quarterback with a different quarterback? And I think it does.
John Marks, listen, if you don't run the football, I know it sounds cliche, if you do not run the football in the NFL and you become one-dimensional and you run a high school Harry offense.
Both things can be true, though, Chuck. I agree with you. I agree with you.
Go deep and throw the ball. Don't run around. Go deep and throw the ball. You know what I mean? That's the stuff he's scoring, man. Like, just look at his plays. Go look at all 22. You'll see the plays and how he's scheming them up.
All right.
The guy don't know what he's doing, man, no matter who he had at quarterback.
Well, sometimes the talent helps the play calling and the coaching. The Bills don't even try to run the ball, really, with Josh Allen. And they have two guys that'll run the ball 8-9 times a game or whatever. But that's Josh Allen.
Well, Josh Allen is a part of their running game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he runs, he throws, and everything else. But we know that we don't have a quarterback that's like that with Josh Allen. So while Nick Sirianni has been.
Josh Allen in his rookie year was a little all over the place.
He was.
Right? Early in
his completion percentage was low.
It wasn't until his third year that he took off.
He got really good.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. All your calls.
But Buffalo was also, because he's a first round pick, was going to be patient with him, and they were already committed to him. There was no, we're trying to figure out if he's the guy. They drafted him, he was their guy.
Longer leash.
Yeah. Yep.
215-592-9494. I don't know how long the leash is with Jalen Hurts. And the more he plays like this, I don't know if it means he gets benched or anything, but you know the Eagles, and they have those first-round picks. You know what they're thinking.
I think we all know that this at least was an audition this year, right, for him to solidify he's the guy.
Yep.
And they're already starting to have discussions nationally as to whether or not is Jalen Hurts the guy.
Yep. Yep. Jalen Hurts, after the game last night, asked about the identity of the offense and didn't really make a whole lot of sense. We'll play that audio and try to make sense of it coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese, back to the phones. Jalen Hurts asked about, because that's what everybody wants to know. What's the identity of this offense? What are you trying to be? I don't know if the head coach knows. What does the quarterback think about it?
I've used this word identity. I've used that a few times. Some people have asked about it and kind of tried to dig into it. But identity, what is our identity as a football team? What is our identity as an offense? I think we have everything we need here in Philadelphia. We have everything. Going toe-to-toe with every team we play, shooting ourselves in the foot, not taking advantage of opportunities. It starts with me. I have unwavering faith in everybody we have here. And it's a matter of putting it all together and making it flow.
What is that identity after six games?
What is that identity? I've said it's a matter of putting it together, right? Rome, I said this too, Rome was not built overnight, and we're still working.
There you go. That's quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I mean, the real answer is, yeah, man, we don't know what our identity is. Yes. We need to win a football game now.
Yeah, he's trying to get through that press conference without saying something that is inflammatory. And so he got deeper into the cliche book last night without giving out real answers to what was going on. Now, I'm going to tell him, they're going to have to talk to him down there now, because if you're planning on being the quarterback here for the next decade, that's not going to work.
No.
So.
No.
Eventually, you're going to have to start giving more than just those stock answers.
Yep.
When it comes to explaining what happened out there on the field, and just working hard and we're going to work hard isn't going to necessarily fly.
Can't use it every week.
No, because people start to get tired of hearing that. It's like saying it's on me every week.
Yeah, it's
on you.
So what are you doing
week
to do
yes,
that?
Exactly.
Right. Like, I mean, reality is that the offense has been so poor that you have no idea what their identity is, because they don't know. A lot of times the identity forms on its own, right? Like, you're like, in 2017, did I think that the beginning of the season that was going to be the identity of the team by the end of the season? That's what it grew into. They traded for a running back. LeGarrette Blount became a big part of that team, right?
It shouldn't be hard to explain, and I'm not saying this falls on Jalen. This more falls on Nick Sirianni.
He can't explain it either.
Shouldn't be hard to explain what you want the identity of your football team to look like.
Yeah, we want to be tough. We want to be resilient. We want to be able to run the football.
Yeah. Exactly.
All the BS that you're going to throw out there, it's easy to explain.
Yes.
Now you got to actually do it.
Yes.
But still, like, what? Like,
well, I mean, they don't even give an explanation for what they want to be.
But it's almost like Ike, you have kids, you have grandkids, right? Like, what do you want your
pointing that out?
What do you want your kids? Well, it's your granddaughter's birthday today.
It is her birthday. Happy birthday, Lele.
But like, I know you want your kids to be a certain way when they go out there in the real world.
Yes.
Like, you want them to be hardworking, and you want them to be resilient. Like, you have an identity that you've created for yourself and your family, and that's what you want your kids, and you want to be proud of them.
Yes.
The same thing with a head coach. Like, what do you want your team to be, dude? Right? Like, all right, like some of that you're going to figure, it's going to happen naturally, but what do you want the team to be, Nick?
Yeah, and that's where Jonathan Gannon sort of had to come back out and explain the whole scheme thing.
God.
Yeah, it's like when we're asking, what is your scheme, what's your philosophy, all we're really asking is, what's the identity you want to have for your defense? You know, you ask Jim Johnson that, he's going to tell you, we're going to attack the quarterback. You got to affect the quarterback. We're going to try to dictate the tempo as opposed to having somebody dictate it to us. We're not going to play on our heels. We're an aggressive defense. Like, that's not even complicated, quite frankly. That's not giving away secrets. That's just saying this is how
that's
we're
going to
play.
Do.
Yeah, this is how we're going to play football. This is what we do around here.
And it was the easiest answer for Jim Johnson because that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, for Jalen, it's a little more difficult because it's his first year, so he really doesn't know. He can't tell you what the identity of the football team is because he doesn't know.
Well, he doesn't even know what he is maybe at this point.
Exactly. So it's a tough question for him.
And the coach, I mean, the coach needs to have the bigger picture of, you think if you asked, like Andy Reid, did he know what the identity of his football team was?
And he knew what he wanted it to be.
Right, exactly. That's the most important thing. Does Nick know what he wants his team to be?
Well, I hope he does.
I hope he does. If he did, he would be able to answer the question a little bit better. I mean, Jesus.
Maybe he knows what he wants his team to be, but maybe the up above doesn't let him do what he wants. Team-wise.
There's the other voice of the show.
I'm just saying, maybe he wants to be a run-the-ball guy. I mean, if you look at the freaking Colts, they like watching that game played on Monday, it's like that's how you get a quarterback. Like,
that's
Carson
how you get him going.
Comfortable.
Yep.
He threw 400 yards. I mean, he had a career game in a loss. But, like, that's how you get a quarterback going. And he used the running back. Like, Miles Sanders is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Like, well, hell, and Gainwell.
Gainwell's
good. He got one touch last night.
Sanders is good.
That's criminal, dude. I mean, really.
One touch for him and four touches for Rager, or for Devontae. Four targets for Devontae. That's insane.
Yeah, and the Gainwell was like a kind of a swing pass where he didn't have much.
It could have been a lateral.
Yes.
They probably called it a rush. Was that one of the runs or was it a reception for him?
Well, Sirianni called up to the press box and said, make sure you count that as a rush for the stats.
But, Jack, to your point of – because I heard they were talking about it a lot this morning on the morning show, and I think Mike Lombardi agreed with it, to where is Nick Sirianni just listening to the people that hired him who said, we want this, you know, NFL pro-style, pass the ball a lot. The problem is they don't have the people to do it right now. So then what do you do? Is this where this college offense is coming from? They were calling it a high school offense on postgame last night.
Well, Seth was at least.
Yeah, Seth was. And Jack was getting – I got a couple people that said, don't insult me. I'm a high school coach.
So did I.
Jack did too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, even the high school coaches are offended by this
offense. High
school
coaches are offended by the offense.
Yes. Upper Merlin High School. Said, so what are you doing, Nick Sirianni? All right, Wanda in Sicklerville of the Marks and Reese Fantasy League is 2-3 on the season and had it coming off a huge win last week, Ike.
And I saw Wanda yesterday.
She's down?
She came to the show.
Did she?
Show me to tell you hello.
What's up, Wanda?
She had the call today.
How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Miss Wanda, what's happening?
That's not what I told you to tell him, Ike.
Okay, what did you tell me to tell him?
I told you to tell him that I was going to kick his ass in fantasy.
That's right. I forgot that is what you told me.
This week?
That's what I told you to tell him.
That is exactly what, and that's exactly how she told me to tell you.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, I did. But
you're going down.
I was going to save that for the end of my call. I wanted to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to the radio all day, and you said something that I wanted to ask you about. You were saying that even though things are not going well, that the guys in the locker room, they like Nick and they respect him and they're with him. Mm-hmm. Isn't that going to change if this continues?
It can. Yep.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I I'm not in there, so I can't tell you that's it's what's going to happen, but that's what likely happens when you continue to lose, especially when you don't have – it's not like they have a lot of cachet built up with him or he has that built up with them. So, especially with veteran players, maybe not with younger guys, but especially the veteran guys who I believe it's been huge for him that those veterans have been in his corner and supporting him because they help get the younger guys on board with the messaging. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because Miles Sanders knows that he's a good running back.
Yep.
I mean, how long is he going to just take that before he pops up and says?
Yeah,
he's probably getting there right now because Wanda, he has 1 year left on his contract after this year, and I mean, as it's going right now, he's not going to have enough carries to have impressive numbers.
He has to be thinking in the back of his mind, I'm not a part of the future here.
I would.
Yeah.
And Zach Ertz is gone, and Zach Ertz. This is what I think. He ought to thank his lucky stars that he's getting out of here now. I understand he's sentimental because he's been an Eagle for a long time. He's going to an undefeated team in Arizona.
sure he's excited.
Oh, he's happy.
Yeah,
I'm
he's
sure.
excited.
Oh,
yeah.
The undefeated team in Arizona, because my football team is a hot mess. And Ike, you were talking about the big picture, and I understand that. And I do understand that. But I think we're in the middle of the big picture. I think that our roster stinks. I think that Howie Roseman stinks. I'm still out on Jalen, but I'm not as patient with the coach.
Right.
I'm not as patient with the coach. And so I think we're in the middle of the big picture. You know, I play in a pick'em pool every year where you just pick games straight up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every year there's a team, I don't care who they play, you never pick them. And I'm afraid that my football team is going to turn
it's
into
becoming that.
That
team.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes me kind of sad. So I'm not going to hold you guys up. But, John, last night, Mike Evans, I guess it wasn't his turn.
Nope.
But it's okay because I have Josh Allen.
You know whose turn it was?
It was
Antonio Brown, who was on my roster.
I know who's
you're going
turn
down.
Right. But we'll see.
All right.
We'll see. Okay.
I love it.
All right, Wanda.
You guys have a nice weekend.
You too, honey.
You too, Miss Wanda.
Bye. Thank you. There you go. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, with Antonio Brown, it's not even fair that they more or less just got Antonio Brown. No one else wanted him. Like, yeah, come on in, Antonio Brown.
Tom Brady will keep him in line.
He's the
and
best.
He has.
He's by far the best receiver on the team.
Oh yeah, I mean, and was before he got there.
Yes,
I mean, Antonio Brown was already on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and his antics off the field obviously clouded that situation. But if Brady. Speaking of Brady, he's talking about playing until he's 50 or 55.
Yeah, what is that?
Anyway.
I'm all Brady
down. Can we doubt him?
Yeah, no, we can't. We can't.
But
I'm so Brady down.
My only point in saying that is if Antonio Brown can stay healthy and keep his nose clean and continue to play with Tom Brady for three more years, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. Because people don't remember. Randy Moss had the same cloud hovering over him before he got traded
to New
England.
No one thought he was going to New England to be Randy Moss again.
He got traded for a fourth-round pick. Yeah.
Yeah, who the hell wants him?
He basically quit in Oakland.
Yeah, it was bad. Yep.
Yeah.
It was bad. And it wasn't Favre ticked off because the Packers wouldn't trade for him, and he ended up going to New England. Meanwhile, Tom Brady got his best skill guy he ever played with.
Yep, and brought Randy Moss back.
Yep.
Brought him back.
He did.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's thinking the same thing. Like, Antonio, I've done this. I've seen it. Randy came.
And there hasn't been a sniff of trouble since he went down there.
No, man, he don't even do anything or say anything.
Nope.
He just keep his nose clean.
No doubt. All right, back
I think he likes playing with Tom Brady.
I would agree.
Likes winning?
I would, too.
Yeah, I think he in Pittsburgh with Big Ben. He's like, oh, man, we never won there.
Well, it turns out he might have been right. I mean, Big Ben's done. I mean, Juju's done. I mean.
Yeah.
He called out a lot of that stuff.
He did.
Are we
Antonio Brown?
We're the crazy ones. He was right on all these things. Seriously, we're nuts.
He got away from John Gruden?
Who's a total loon. Yes, who's a total racist and everything else.
Oh, God.
Misogynist. Oh, my God. All right, back to the phones right after I tell you. Hot water. It's important. We rely on hot water every day, so don't take chances. My home has a Bradford White water heater, and my family gets all the hot water we need. Bradford White water heaters are built to be the best for reliable performance year after year. So if your water heater is old and isn't getting the job done, replace it now. Ask your plumbing pro about Bradford White or visit BradfordWhite.com to learn more and to find a pro near you. Choose the best water heater. Choose Bradford White. Let's go to Rocky. Rocky's calling from Northern California. I can't remember ever talking to Rocky before from Northern California.
No, this is the first time I've called. How you guys doing?
Hi, Rocky.
What's up, Rocky?
Hey, man, I love the show. It's the first time calling. I'm from Philly, but I've been living in California for a minute. But after listening to all these people, everybody seems to be pretty upset. So, Ike, can I get some juice?
Oh, yeah. Hook him up, Jack.
They must have been drinking that Ike juice.
Like that.
Okay. I feel better. Now, I have a question.
Yes.
I think Mad Mark or Mike.
Mad Mike, yeah.
Brought it up before. I think, don't you guys think that there's maybe a question about the commitment of ownership in terms of sustaining a viable elite team? I think it looks to me, and this is just my opinion, and I want to hear what you guys think, that I think as long as the seats are being filled,
no,
you're okay.
No.
I don't want to sound like, you know, just gloom and doom, but I mean, just from the talent that they pick, the leaders that they pick, if you're going to pick someone who doesn't have experience calling plays, why not pick Deuce?
Let me ask you a question. Rocky, let me ask you a question. Cause
I would have picked Deuce, too, but I don't know why they didn't pick
Deuce. He was there for
Rocky, we got this a lot. It not so much anymore, but we got this a lot towards the tail end of Andy, to where they just want a competitive team to sell tickets and get in the playoffs.
They're cheap.
They don't really care about winning. They just want to fill the seats. Here's the deal. Not that attendance isn't important, but that's pocket change for these owners. These franchises are worth billions of dollars. Jeffrey Lurie is rich and he's old. He wants to win another Super Bowl. This guy wants to win. This is his prized possession. Why would he just care about filling seats and making more money? The dude wants to win. This is the most important thing other than his family in his life. This is his biggest passion. So why wouldn't he want to win?
No, he wants to win.
Yeah.
He wants to win. I mean, listen, we can disagree about the way they're going about trying to win. That's fair. People may not agree with the way they're doing it, but to question the motive, that's not fair. It's a first-class organization. As Eagle fans, we should be proud of the fact that you do have an owner that does care about winning.
And he's in the community, and he does great things in the community. And
he'll spend money on free agents and all that type thing. Again, we may not like the decisions once they are made, but the motive and the agenda behind it is always to win.
Yeah, the process to a lot of people is flawed with how they go about things, but they think that that's how you do it. And the fact they won a Super Bowl in 2017 tells them that they were doing it the right way. Don't tell them they're screwing things up.
Yeah.
which is why winning the Super Bowl is bad.
Yeah, that show might be next week, Jack. We might finally do it.
Not that I wouldn't give the Super Bowl back, but like...
No, you may be right. You may be right, but go ahead and finish what you were about
to
say.
It ended up causing this idea that they did it the right way.
Right.
And when in reality, if they looked in the mirror, it's like it was a one-off year. Mm-hmm. It was like the team was talented, but it was a lot of free agents. It wasn't homegrown. It wasn't sustainable, and it went with a backup quarterback.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the Rams are doing it the wrong way?
No.
I believe in their head coach more.
But that's not what I asked. I asked you, do you believe the Rams are doing it the wrong way?
I don't think it's for everybody, but they're committed to these trades and all these other things to where, they're maybe the best team in the NFC.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't.
When we do the homegrown stuff, we all like draft picks, but we want good football players. And most of the Rams' good football players, they drafted Cooper Kupp, they drafted Aaron Donald. But a lot of guys they did bring from somewhere else. And I don't think they've had a first-round draft pick in 4 years.
And they don't care about him.
And they don't care about him. They just traded away the number two pick they had. Hell, he may have been the last first-round draft pick they had. Jared Goff.
Yep.
He may have been the last one.
They see an opportunity to win right now, and that's how they're going about doing it.
Yeah.
And
it's not for everybody, but that's also how we won our Super Bowl.
Right. No, you can win like
that. There's a lot of free agents that was brought on that team.
Here's what I would say to you, Jack, about the Super Bowl just told them, hey, we're doing it right, we're going to continue. What makes you think if they didn't win the Super Bowl that they would have said, oh, man, we're flawed, we got to change everything. Howie, you're fired. I'm not going to be as involved as the owner in all the stuff that's going on. These guys aren't changing. Like at some point, Howie Roseman, if this continues, he's not going to have his job anymore. This is not a job for life. But I push back against the idea that they were looking for the guy that they could push around more than anything. Jeffrey Lurie wants to hire the best coach possible. He doesn't want to hire a guy that's clueless. You think he's happy with the way things are going right now? Because he can, at least according to a lot of people, he can tell him to throw all the time. He wanted to hire the best coach. He wanted to interview Staley. He wanted to interview the top candidates. They didn't want to come here.
Yeah, and I was going to say to your point, you're right. Nick Sirianni was one of the last guys they interviewed. I don't know if he was on the original list. I don't think he was. So you can almost make the case they hired what was left, what was available to them.
They wanted Lincoln Riley.
Right. So, and I say that to say it's why I'm not overreacting to him as the head coach, because right now the Eagles haven't overly committed to anybody. They didn't sign Jalen Hurts to a 5-year extension to where everybody's like, oh, we got to be stuck with the quarterback here for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, I'm pretty sure Nick Sirianni's contract isn't one of these contracts they can't get away from. So if if in the end it shows itself that you got to move on not only from the coach but the quarterback also, they have the ability to do that. We just have to be able to get through this season.
Which is
and we're at game six.
It's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because we care.
This doesn't feel like game six, Ike. It doesn't feel like two wins. This feels like 15 losses. Let's go to Eric's calling from Atlanta, Georgia, listening on the Odyssey app. Eric, what up?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up, B?
I didn't think it was possible for me to be frustrated with the Eagles this season because I came into it not having expectations.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
The one thing I was worried about, it seemed like it's happening. So we're, what, 5-6 games into the season, and Jalen, I don't know what's going on with him. And I feel like you can't pinpoint it because our head coach, who I wasn't big on hiring, I feel like he's not putting Jalen in the best situation.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
The way I'm feeling, being honest, it might sound crazy. I want to blow it all up. I want to get rid of Sirianni just as of right now. Mm-hmm. Get rid of Sirianni, be going to the draft, get another quarterback, and just start over. Because he just got hired don't mean that we shouldn't get rid of him.
That could happen.
Oh, yeah, it could happen. Yeah, yep. if it's bad enough, for sure.
And I'm liking it's other head coaches that are looking good out there. The Tampa Bay's OC right now.
Byron
Leftwich. He calls the plays. So there's no excuses from nobody to make.
He's going
to
get interviews and he's probably going to get a job. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, think about this, Eric. No one off the two Super Bowl teams staffs, the coordinators, were hired for new head coaching positions. No Eric Bieniemy, no Byron Leftwich, no Steve Spagnuolo, and no Todd Bowles. They were in the Super Bowl, and they didn't get hired to be a coach somewhere.
Brian Daboll, who was also,
Buffalo.
Bills were in the Final Four there.
That was his choice.
Yeah, that's true.
That was his choice. Those other guys didn't even get offered jobs, head coaching jobs.
Nope. They'll be out there.
And we had to scream and yell about Eric Bieniemy being interviewed and whether or not he should be a head coach.
Yep.
Like, so and this is what frustrates people when they talk about the good old boy network and making sure people get opportunities and that whole thing. And I'm not accusing the Eagles of any of that. I'm saying when you look around the entire league at those guys, I look at those two teams in the Super Bowl and neither one of their coordinators get hired.
Yeah, how? Normally, owners can't wait to hire that guy.
Off the Super Bowl
team.
Oh,
my God. Right. Offensive coordinator, great offense. And here's something else, too.
Robert Saleh gets hired before Todd Bowles gets hired. Really?
It's crazy to think. Deuce Staley, I love Deuce.
Yeah.
And after they didn't hire him, I didn't go ballistic because they didn't hire Deuce. Mm-hmm. Now you look at it, based on the results you're getting from your new head coach, are you telling me that Deuce couldn't be doing a better job with this team right now? Hire an experienced offensive coordinator that's going to help with play calling.
Yep.
He's the overseer and the CEO.
Yeah,
and he hires a defensive coordinator. You're telling me that this team wouldn't be better off with Deuce Staley as your head coach right now?
He could do the straight. He could have did the Mike Tomlin road, the John Harbaugh road.
Man.
Deuce would have been perfect at that.
There's no way you'd be worse off than you are right now.
And, dude, you know this city would be behind Deuce 1,000%.
Yeah, he'd run the ball.
Something tells me Miles Sanders would be getting more rushes.
Yeah, Nicky doesn't run the ball. Deuce would, man. They changed the wrong guy.
They did, Jack.
Get off the phone.
Jack from Delco, what are you doing in here? I do not believe you're vaccinated. You're not supposed to be in the building, Jack.
I had to get in, tell you guys that Deuce would have ran the ball. It's all right.
Did I tell you our Twitter question? It's brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Support local business. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers for the best selection of diamond engagement rings in the area. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Mike Florio with the national perspective of what he saw. He's coming up next. And also, we'll dive into what's going on with Las Vegas and the whole email gate and some other things going on around the National Football League.
Are they opening more emails? Is stuff still coming out?
Mike is aggressive in demanding that they open up all these emails.
He
wants to see every one of the 650,000 emails, and he's written about it about 100 times.
He actually has the dog mentality where he's snarling, but he just wants all the emails.
Florio should be the head coach of this team. Yeah. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He's coming up next. And the Flyers are bringing it to Broad with a matchup against the Vancouver Canucks. This is tonight. Hold on. I got a hockey horn for this right here. Let me hear it. That's right. Flyers tonight, the Canucks to start the regular season. All fans in attendance will get a free Flyers t-shirt. Get your tickets for the Flyers home opener presented by Coke Zero Sugar. And for all home games this season, you can do it right now. Get tickets for tonight. PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. That's PhiladelphiaFlyers.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.